And this morning, what we're going to be just wrapping things up, we're going to be talking about spiritual disciplines. So if you have not been with us, you're a guest, we've just been looking at the scripture and we've just been breaking down prayer and fasting. Now, one of the things that we say here in this church family is that we are, this is to help make the point this morning. So based on the events of the week, don't be scared. Thank you. We are daily learning to love God and to love others. That's why we constantly say in this family that we're learning, we're growing and changing, and we do that through the process of baby steps. So let me go over some scriptures with you, just remind you of what we've been talking about in regards to prayer. 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18 in the New King James. It says, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." Colossians 4:2-4 in the ESV. "Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, pray also for us that God may open to us a door for the word." You know that this is not just a prayer for a certain group. Think about that. "So that we can declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I'm in prison, that I may make it clear which is how I ought to speak." Let me just say this again. Prayer, opening up your heart to God, there is this mysterious mystery component that if we're not careful, when we are so academic driven, that we're not transferring or living in the mystery of Christ. I'm just going to throw that out. There's somebody that needs to hear that this morning. Romans 12:12 in the NLT. "Rejoice in our confident hope, be patient in trouble, and keep on praying." Regardless of what some of you have been presented, this gospel message doesn't mean that everything in your life is going to be beautiful and wonderful and tasty cake. Life stinks and is difficult, and there's trouble out there. A relationship with God doesn't remove us from this trouble, but it gives us strength in relationship with Him to navigate that. Jeremiah 33:3, "Call to me and I will answer you, and I will tell you great and unsearchable things that you do not know." This is in the context of faith relationship with God. Hebrews 4:16 in New American Standard Bible. "Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Talking to God from your honest self, which is conversation with Him, is central to this process of love exchange. And we've talked about giving and receiving His love. It should be not be viewed, and we've talked about this week after week. We're not approaching this as an obligation or a duty, but rather an opportunity to engage with the creator of the universe. Fasting and abstinence becomes an intensifying or amplifying experience to help us focus more keenly on Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's another step to experiencing the depths of God's love and desire for our lives with this God family. We believe that prayer and fasting are all about a personal relationship with God. Love should be one of the supreme motivating factors for our learning to talk to Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, to learn the depths of that love. What we're hoping is that through this series and as we wrap up today, that we're able to create clarification regarding our motivation for fasting, and that it can actually just be a natural extension of our prayer life. Now remember, I want to say it again, we're not teaching this as an obligation, but rather an opportunity. We're trying to help create a desire for you to increase faith, grace, and love in your personal prayer relationship with God, which is at the very heart of biblical prayer, prayerful abstinence, and prayerful fasting. Now, we've mentioned John chapter 15, verses 4 and 5 regularly. We've talked about it. We've done some study on that. As we've discussed in the past, I want you to think once again and consider the words of our Lord and Savior, Jesus of Nazareth. This is what he says, John chapter 15, verses 4 and 5 in the NIV. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you're the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. This is what I really need for you to consider this morning. This process of abiding involves our participation in the abiding pursuit. This is not a static participation, but rather a dynamic type of participation. Abiding involves active participation. A lot of human religion, and I know the way that I grew up, and some of you are coming from this, where your religious pursuit, you have a desire for God, but everything that's presented to you makes this religious pursuit very static and very boring and very mundane. And in a lot of that pursuit, what winds up happening is it becomes so theological and so intellectually driven that we miss the mystery of relationship. And so what we're talking about this morning is we believe as we press in, this whole relational pursuit of God is by no means static and boring. It's very dynamic. It's changing, it's growing, it fits our world, and it's absolutely incredible. So much the next 3 weeks after today, we're going to be looking into frontier faith, and we're actually going to be breaking down this great adventure that we're called into. And we're going to be using the analogy of those that left the East Coast and went out west and how that so fits what the kind of faith that we're talking about. So, Colossians chapter 3, verse 8 through 11 in the New King James, I want you to listen to this, but now you yourselves are to put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language, put it out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another. And can I just say this? I'm going to say it anyway. I just kind of ask it as a churches are full of lies and liars. And it's supposed to be like that. I'm just saying. We're supposed to be an honest, open group of people. Own your junk. Be honest about it. Let's move on. Okay? But just look at what it says. That's powerful. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man and his deeds, and you put on this new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Where there is neither Jew, Greek nor Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and in all. Let me read that phrase again in the NIV. I love the way it says. Since you have taken off your old self with its practices. I love this because it's like taking off your clothes. You know, it's like get that jacket off, get that covering off. And you've put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge of the image of its creator. Now, let's jump in real quick. I want to talk about spiritual disciplines specifically with all the scripture laying the foundation for what we're talking about. Now, for a lot of you, as soon as we start talking about spiritual disciplines, your immediate response in some shape, form, or fashion is this. You hear spiritual discipline, or you hear discipline, or you hear the word self-control, and all of a sudden the forces of evil, based on your personality or what you've been exposed to, as soon as you hear the phrase spiritual discipline, you immediately think handcuffed. Like, oh my word, God is just going to try to bear down on me and control me. He's a fun Nazi. He's going to take all these things away, and he's just going to handcuff me, and my life is done. Are you tracking with me? Some of you better not grin, because I'm going to know that you know what I'm talking about. But I'm just telling you, you know why these handcuffs fit me? Because this is what I had to go through as a young man, because what was presented to me was different than my heart for God, because my heart was seeking God, but the human religion of what I grew up in, I felt like that I was going to get handcuffed, but it was because of all that was presented to me. So I was really struggling, and a lot of you here today, as soon as we start talking about this, this is what you start feeling. Faith in Jesus, the Son of the living God, should create spiritual birthing process that is relationship with God. And I want you to think about this. For many of us, we're convinced ourselves, even when we believe that Jesus came to set us free, we've convinced ourselves that we are actually free and God is going to handcuff us, when it's just the opposite. A lot of you here this morning, you know what I'm talking about. You're acting like you're free, but you're handcuffed to your sin and struggles. And you base your life on ungodly lies and anti-biblical, ungodly truths. You are handcuffed because of the lies that you've embraced as truth. And it's just the opposite of what the force of evil present to you. God is trying to actually set you free. And spiritual disciplines actually propel our lives in a different trajectory of freedom. So I want you to just think about this. Let me go through some spiritual disciplines real quick. We're not going to spend a lot of time. Bible reading, Bible study, Bible meditation, and Bible memorization. These are things that affect us and give us freedom. There's this process of prayer as a spiritual discipline. Fasting is a spiritual discipline. Generosity. And here's the thing. As you begin to press into these things, what winds up happening is just the opposite of what you assumed was going to take place. As you press into these spiritual disciplines, something slowly, baby step after baby step, begins to take place in your life. Wow, I like how this feels. I'm beginning to get some new freedom. Let me keep pressing in to more of these spiritual disciplines, because what is taking place in my soul is just the opposite of what I thought was going to take place. Hey, fellowship, the spiritual discipline of fellowship. I choose to be with other people and to be encouraged. Hey, and guess what? Spiritual discipline of service. I can now see that there are other people in this world. The world is not just about me. Then you begin to serve and you begin to be selfless, and there's a freedom that takes place. Silence and solitude. I'm going to turn off all the noise, and I'm going to, this spiritual discipline of silence and solitude, worship, simplicity, celebration and praise, confession, evangelism and disciple making. What begins to take place as we press into these things slowly, slowly. And some of you, you're looking for that instant gratification. And some of the things that we've lived in and the decisions that we've made, it takes time for us to get that level of freedom and to be able to break the chains, to break the handcuffs, and to be able to say, oh my word, God, thank you for what you're doing. Romans chapter 8, verse 29, New American Standard. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined. What is this process about? To become conformed to the image of his son, so that he would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18, the ESV. And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Galatians 2 and verse 20 in ESV, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. What I love about these verses is it doesn't remove the struggle of the flesh and the spirit. But we have a new understanding of why we're pursuing these disciplines, because if you believe in Jesus as the Son of God, Father's goal with you is to create within you the very image of his Son so that you resemble the God family. And that's going to look different for all of us because we have different personalities, but it's going to be the same. I was talking to somebody, and I love this phrase, we're the same kind of different. You get what I'm saying? We're the same, but we're different. And look at this. In the process, there are fruits that are created when someone is growing in relationship with God. I want to give these to you real quick and we'll wrap things up. There are relationship outcomes or fruit that are created by spending time in the Word of God, prayer, and pursuing these spiritual disciplines that I just threw out to you. One of the things I want to mention to you, I've got four things real quick. Contentment. Our current culture does not understand contentment. Can we just own that? But Father God wants to set us free through contentment. Second thing is joy. Joy is based on what you're experiencing, who you are with Christ. Joy is not circumstances. Joy is not based on getting your way. Joy is inside out. It's not outside in. And one of the fruit, one of the outcomes of this relational pursuit and spiritual disciplines is a joy that is mind-boggling because it's present even when the world around you stinks. Stinks bad. Third thing, and this is one thing I just, and for all you young people, you young adults, I want you to hear this. When I talk about static versus dynamic, I just want you to understand that some of you, you're growing, you're a little scared right now because you feel some things taking place in this church family. I want you to understand that when we press into spiritual disciplines and knowing God, there is life and vitality in that mysterious spiritual relationship. If you're coming out of religion that's boring and doesn't have life and vitality, I'm going to ask you right now to evaluate what you really got in that transaction, because the scripture's talking from beginning to end, how does God show up somewhere and not have this supernatural ripple effect and God breathes life into dead things? So you know what this church family is called to? Life and vitality. The last thing I want to mention, I have to define this because of the world that we live in. The fourth thing that's a fruit or an outcome of this relationship of spending time is empowerment. This one I want to drill down on for some of you this morning, but I need you to understand what I mean by the word empowerment here and the way I'm using it. What I mean by the use of this word, please hear me, is helping people become confident in their personal relationship with God to create a launching pad for spiritual passion that is expressed through godly service. Do I have your attention with that definition? Let me read it again. Helping people become confident in their personal relationship with God to create a launching pad for spiritual passion that is expressed through godly service. We say it all the time. We are not trying to control. We are not trying to manipulate. We are trying to help equip you so that you can personally know God, experience the beauty of his presence through the Holy Spirit, learn his word, and for you to be free to walk the path that God is calling you to walk. Now, we're going to be in fellowship together. We're going to love each other. We're going to be cool with each other. But here's the thing. We are not trying to create cookie cutter people here. We want to be a launching pad for you to do what you want to do. And some of you, you're coming out of traditions. We've dealt with this ever since we started as a Bible study and launched public services. You feel like that you have to have our seal of approval on things. What we are looking for is for you to respond to the Holy Spirit. People come to me and say, hey, Pastor Sam, I feel like I should open my home up and start a prayer meeting. I'm like, set the schedule. Call people in your house, pray. Well, what do I need to do? Put a date on, call people. We'll partner with you. He's like, I don't have to go through some application process. Well, you just follow your heart before God. But some of you, you're sitting there going, I don't know about that, man. That's the difference between empowerment. So let me just give you a few examples to help you understand the process of spiritual empowerment that is taking place in this church family. And it's just going to, we're praying for incredible increase. And I'm not including everybody. I want you to know that there's hundreds and hundreds of people that they are experiencing God on a whole new level. And there's a mighty movement of the Holy Spirit. And it's not about us as much as it's about Him. So just listen to this. You heard last week, Evan and Karen with the Good Hope Campus. Elijah Shepherd, he's helping with youth and children's ministry. Reading Lee Catherine, helping couples. Jordan Cowan, investing in our children. Daniel Frazier, helping Jenny lead a women's study. Logan and Allison, launching Spirit Speak. Amy Lukacik, writing her first published devotional. Julia Estes, starting a prayer movement on her front porch. Wes and Jessica Shepherd, opening up their home for election prayer focus. 40 to 50 ladies faithfully providing meals to those in need. Two new couples participating in the Lord's table. Micah and so many young people carving out time to study the Word of God on Sunday nights. Liz Garber helping run a thrift store that supports missionaries around the world. Daniel, Jay, Troy, Zach, Avery, Levi, and so many others helping set things up here early in the morning at Renback. Plus public school employees ministering the love of Jesus every single day. Caitlin Racer directing and teaching at Good Hope Community School. Brent and Karen Graham leading a financial study in their home. Barry Richards serving in so many behind the scenes ways. And the list goes on and on and on and on. I'm just giving you a smattering, but all of these people pressing in and doing things to become a launching pad is what makes this church family healthier each and every week. And we don't need less, we need more. And literally what we're trying to be is a church family that is propelling people to walk in the power and the intimacy and the freedom of what God has called you to walk in. And guess who's not in control of that? I don't convict, I don't call. My gift is harassment. It's totally different. Okay? And I love to walk in that gift. Am I correct? Yeah, you grinned at me then. You know exactly what I'm talking about. We are going to have shared similar hearts because of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But yet the gifts and the talents and the pursuits will manifest differently because we have different personalities, different backgrounds, different. We're different people. It's going to manifest differently, but it's for the same goal, which is to glorify our Father in heaven, glorify God through the gospel and disciple making. Do you know that every single one of you that claim to be a follower of Christ, you're called to be a gospel presenter and a disciple maker? Tim, that's what we pay you and Chris for. What our job is to equip you for the work of the ministry and to create a launching pad for you to explode for our Lord. Some of you, you just got queasy scared. My response, insensitivity? Yeah. Okay. The proof of spiritual maturity is not how pure you are, but awareness of your impurity. That very awareness opens the door to grace. Phillips Brooks said that. John Wesley said it like this: always remember the essence of Christian holiness is simplicity and purity. One design, one desire, entire devotion to God. True Christianity is all about connection with God through Christ by the Holy Spirit. True Christianity also empowers us to the point of being able to see the needs of others and attempt to meet those needs because we have connection with God. Prayer and fasting are spiritual disciplines that create a stronger passion to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. May we press into God together and encourage one another to keep learning His ways, individually and together, as we keep learning to be a family. We have incredible visions and aspirations for this church family. Ask me what they are. Go ahead, Michelle, ask me. You. What I want to do right now is make eye contact with every single one of you. It's you. You feel me? Genuine. It's you. It's you. It's you. And I can go all around this because I don't know what that looks like. But I know that if you will experience God and grow close to Him and let His mysterious presence embolden you and empower you, what is capable within this family if more and more people experience the presence of the Holy Spirit, and it's a launching pad for service for you to do things and for you to reach people that I will never even know or be able to have a conversation with. And spiritual discipline is a part of that. And like never before, and we talk about it, for us to be healthy, it's us all making a choice to participate in the abiding process. You do realize we are just getting started. And this is not about me. The vision looks like you. The vision looks like you. Yeah, good. That was good. I love you. The vision looks like you. It looks like you. Yes, it does. Are you tracking with me? Can we just be open and seek Him and see what God does as we press in together? Let's think about these things as we stand and we worship Him in song.